It's one big, great, invisible, spiritual, powerful freight train coming down the track based on God's foreknowledge, predestining purposes, effective call, justifying purposes in Jesus Christ. You who are in Jesus Christ are being sanctified in Him, and nothing, not death itself, can stop it from reaching its ultimate conclusion, your glorification.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright. Welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. I'm Daniel Britt. Today we conclude Alan's series on heaven, taken from the pulpit at Rinalda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Alan, in this series, you're teaching to allow your imagination to be harnessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us, that may sound a little bit off, a little bit weird. What does this actually mean? Let your imagination be harnessed by the Holy Spirit. Some of us have never thought about the Holy Spirit, a serious issue like God, and our imagination kind of going hand in hand.
Well, the imagination's a gift from God. The imagination is a part of us wherein we can be creative, and which it is to say, essentially, we can envision something that we cannot see physically, but we can see with our mind. That's what the imagination is. And what the Scripture does in things like heaven, where we are not able to touch or see it like a photograph or a video, God paints pictures. The whole book of Revelation is a book of painting pictures that are not necessarily literal pictures, but activate the imagination and capture the senses and capture our minds to be stretched. There's a sense in which the whole life we have with God is something that's blessed beyond belief, that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we would ask or think. And so sometimes I think with heaven, it's quite appropriate to allow sort of a sanctified imagination, sort of controlled by the Holy Spirit, to imagine. It's not to say that we can say for sure that we can identify certain feature of heaven, but for example, often at a time of a funeral, a memorial service, I think it does us all good, and we just sort of envision the beloved one, you know, maybe if somebody loved to go fishing. Mm-hmm. And I just like to think, I wonder what the celestial lakes are like and what size the bass are, or what size trout there are in the streams that run through heaven, and to allow ourselves to see that. And I think sometimes the Spirit will guide us. It's not to say that we're able to make, you know, proclamations that become these ultimate truth statements out of our imaginations, but there is vain imagination, and then there's Holy Spirit-led imagination, and it can heighten our hunger for God and build our faith.
You want to know more? Listen up next on Sharing the Light. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for information on receiving Alan's full teaching, Death Be Not Proud. Here is Alan Wright.
This good creation was tainted by the sin that human beings brought into it. The humanity that He had made in His own image was put as the pinnacle of creation with dominion over the earth. So however it went for humanity, it went for all of creation. And so when we sinned, the earth itself became corrupted and fell into decay. And God did not annihilate these human creatures that He had made in His own image. Instead, He had a plan. And the plan of God was a plan to restore them to the glory that He had intended from the beginning. And so He never stopped. There was a time in which the world was so corrupt that God wiped out the earth with a cleansing flood, except He didn't annihilate humanity, nor did He annihilate the creatures that inhabited the earth. But through one seed of righteousness in Noah, He saved humanity so that there could be more righteousness. But Noah was not one who was totally without sin himself. And so sin continued. But you're getting a shadow, a picture of the nature of God. God begins something good, and when it is corrupt, he brings about continued cleansing, but he does not annihilate it. Instead, he moves it towards its final climactic glorification. He brought up a man named Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram wasn't without sin, but God, in his plan, he said, he believed me, so I'm going to credit it to him as righteousness. So now, through the seed of righteousness, he starts a nation. But the nation would fall into sin, and the nation would rebel. And he called Moses, and he set up through Moses a tabernacle wherein there would be sacrifices and innocent blood that would be shed so that there could be the temporary atoning, cleansing, forgiving work of God demonstrated through the innocent animal's blood. And so God was just picturing that he is continuing a process where one day he will find a consummate way to bring about the cleansing of sin, the forgiveness of it, so that there could be the glorification of all that he has made. In other words, Paul puts it this way: God foreknew, and God gave a destiny ahead of time that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And God called. And God's call is not like my mom who'd call me when I was a kid and say, "Alan, supper's ready," and I'd keep playing basketball. His call is like the call to Lazarus: "Lazarus, come out." It's a call that has an effect to it. And those he called, Paul said, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. In other words, it's one big, great, invisible, spiritual, powerful freight train coming down the track based on God's foreknowledge, predestining purposes, effective call, justifying purposes in Jesus Christ. You who are in Jesus Christ are being sanctified in him, and nothing, not death itself, can stop it from reaching its ultimate conclusion, your glorification. And so it is that you are not going to be annihilated. In Jesus Christ, you are going to be resurrected. The dust is going to be gathered again, and your body is going to be made into a spiritual body, and you are going to live on a new earth. He's not going to scrap us and start all over. He's going to make us what we're supposed to be. You know what this means for me? What this means for me is that we not only keep on living, we keep on thinking. We keep remembering what was good. We keep on moving towards what we're called to. There's going to be a civilization. It's not just a return back to Eden with all of its pristine nature, although that will be there. It instead, the vision that John got on the Isle of Patmos was of a heavenly city coming down with all of this glory, people interacting, people doing their stuff. I mean, whatever God's called you to, when you come and breathe your last, you're not done with what God's called you to. What got me so excited was, so what if I don't get it done here on earth? I get to live on the earth in a glorified body, in a glorified earth, and keep on doing what I'm best at. You see? So I'm just saying, that's one person's example of how you meditate on the promises of heaven, fear of death begins to be dissolved, and life then comes. In other words, meditating on the promises of God is part of the principle that God has for us, wherein peace enters us spiritually. Whatever is true and noble, whatever's right and pure, whatever's lovely and admirable, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so the meditation of our heart and the surrender to the Holy Spirit, who is the assurance, the guarantee, the earnest, the down payment, the Bible says, guaranteeing our inheritance to come, this is the way that we become assured of heaven. And what happens is you start changing your way of thinking. And then life here becomes more wonderful. The fixation about this earth and all I got to get done, or all the worries that I have, begins to lessen. This 90-year-old couple had been devoted to good health all their life. The woman especially, she had been, you know, keeping the the table set with whole grains and fresh vegetables and very lean meat, not much of it, no desserts, and decaffeinated everything, and it was working. They were 90 years old, and both of them still in great health, loved each other, and they were taking a trip down to the Bahamas. The plane crashed, and they died and went to heaven. And they got out there, and St. Peter started showing them around, and you know, they'd lived a simple kind of life here, not poor, but simple, and man couldn't believe it. Peter showed them, said, "This is your mansion here." And took him around, showed him this glorious thing. It was unbelievable. Had a big waterfall in the great room. It had unbelievable kind of, you know, men's room in there for just, you know, doing the men's stuff. Woman had so many closets, totally separate sinks, way far from each other. It was beautiful. He said, what are the payments on this? St. Peter said, there are no payments on this. This is heaven. This is free. This is your reward. This is your mansion. I said, oh. He looked out the window, and there was a golf course. It's more lush than you'd ever seen anything imaginable. And people would hit the ball, and it'd take a divot, and the grass would grow right back just immediately. There'd be no divots out there. And Peter said, this is your golf course. And he said, huh, what, the green fees? And he said, there are no green fees. It doesn't cost anything. It's your golf course. It's part of your reward. This is heaven. They took him over to the clubhouse, and there was a buffet. It was spread with unbelievable delights. Hors d'oeuvres, and shrimp, and salads, and soups, and entrees, and I know it's getting towards lunchtime. Sorry. And The desserts were spread across the table, huge dessert tables, all spread around like that. And he said, well, where are the whole grains and the low-fat foods and the decaf coffee? And Peter said, no, this is the best of all. This is heaven. You get to eat as much as you want. You never get overweight, and you're never going to die. And the grumpy old man looked at his wife. He said, you and your whole grain muffins, we could have been here 10 years ago. I'm not advocating eating at the chocolate fountain so you can get there quicker. The point of it is really this, is that the more that I meditate on the promises of heaven, the less afraid I feel. And guess what? The less afraid you feel, the more alive you become. Here's what happened. God saw ahead of time the need for a redemptive plan. And from all time, he set forth a day in which Jesus would come. And because of Jesus' coming, anyone that puts their trust in Christ Jesus receives an unimaginable gift. Jesus, because he was God and fully human, he could taste death for humanity. He became an apt representative of all of humanity. So that when God said, if you eat of this, if humanity, if you eat of this, then you'll surely die. What God did was he sent a second Adam who would be an apt and suitable sacrifice because he was God himself. And Jesus himself, he tasted death for us so that death would have no final say over our lives, but instead the curse would be utterly lifted. We will die physically, but we are not under the curse of death. We are on the promise of life. Meditate on it. As I have been meditating about what it would be like, I just have a sense of incredible joy. Let me just give you a couple of things to think about. Think about your new body. It's fun to think about. I just I'd like to just think about a body that, the first thing I'd like to think about is unable to decline, but able to increase. I tell you, I got a 16-year-old boy who plays golf. I go out and play golf with him, and it was like, okay, I was the dad. He was 3 years old, so I was like awesome compared to him. And then he got older and older, and I stay in the same level, getting a little worse. He's getting older, bigger, getting better. I'm getting, you know, about the same level, a little weaker, a little worse. And then, you know, and now he's 16 and hitting the ball so far beyond me. And every time he goes out there, I say, man, you have got the life, dude. I mean, every time you come out, you're a little bigger, a little stronger, and you hit it further than you did last time. And I say, every time I come out, I feel like it's going a little shorter than it did last time. I'm just trying to hang on. All you got to do is just come out here and just grow. And I just got to thinking, you know, can you imagine a body that is never subject to decline but can keep on increasing? I'd like to imagine a mind that's like that. I'd like to imagine a mind that can't remember anything bad and can't forget anything good. I think that's what we're going to get. You get a mind that's not corrupted, you won't remember anything bad. You won't hold any judgments towards anybody that harms you, and you won't be able to forget anything that's good. You're going to still have your memory. The principle of continuity of God's word is that it's still you. So how could it still be you unless you still have your memory? You're going to have memories, but they're going to be good memories. And your mind's going to continue to grow. I believe we're going to have a mind. You know, I tell you, it'd just be a delight just to be able to have a mind that could understand what somebody else was saying and be understood. I mean, I'd be heaven right there. I'd just be heaven, wouldn't it? Do you ever think about that? How much time in your life you spend just trying to communicate something to somebody without them hearing the wrong thing? It's unbelievable. Think of how much time you spend in your daily life just trying to, I mean, I am a communicator for a living. I try to work at communication. I want to try to say something properly and winsomely and effectively so that it's understood. But I cannot open my mouth without somebody who's misunderstanding it because they don't know your heart. And then you wind up with confusion and problems. And I don't know what it's going to be like to have. Don't you think there's going to be a lot better form of communication? I don't think we'll be relegated just to, I don't know if we'll be able to read each other's minds, but you know, in heaven, it'd be okay. It's a good thing we don't read each other's minds here. Could you imagine me trying to preach and then all that about 300 thoughts coming up here? When is he going to finish? The game is on. I mean, I couldn't even preach if I could read your mind. But in heaven, I don't see why God couldn't give us a kind of communication where we just like, you want to communicate with me? Yeah, I'll communicate with you. And we just share our thoughts and you know each other. Jesus was being tricked by the Sadducees, and they said, well, you know, what about a man who he married his brother's widow, and they were seven brothers, and so it went on down the line, and they get to heaven, who's he married? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus said, well, there's not marriage, not marrying and giving in marriage in heaven, which to some people at first, you say, well, that doesn't sound like good, because I love my wife. I've been with her for so many years. And others of you are like, well, thank God there's no heaven. So, you know, but here's the point of the thing is that in heaven, where you get relationships that they are going to all be your relatives. I mean, the good kind of. This is the affirmation of the gospel. We're going to know each other. We're going to love each other. We're going to understand each other. We're going to grow together. We're going to continue to learn together. We're going to enjoy God together. It is above and beyond what we could ask or think. Think often of your home on a new heaven and a new earth, and surrender your heart to the Holy Spirit, asking for every reassurance of that future as a child of God. For in so doing, you are liberated from the fear of death. Free, finally, to really live. That's the gospel.
Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light and today's conclusion on heaven from the message titled, Death Be Not Proud.
As we're thinking about heaven, probably most of us since childhood have grown up with some kind of a thought of heaven. You want to maybe compare the childlike view of heaven that we had as a kid that might have been very elementary, maybe even cartoonish, versus what I'm calling here intellectually impossible view of heaven. Maybe it's just we can't even imagine what it's like. So any kind of thought we have towards it is probably nothing to compare to.
Well, you know, I think as we grow up as children and people get senses of this from looking at pictures and we see, you know, angels flying around with harps on clouds and we can be a bit like, you know, Huck Finn is like, you know, that doesn't sound like a very good place to go. It doesn't sound very fun. We have religious views of heaven that we imagine in our mind more than what really is the biblical picture. And then we also have, in our attempt to be very sophisticated, we do have some intellectual ideas that we'll make heaven into something that is so mystical, so ethereal, that it has no sense of anything tangible to it. But I think the real biblical picture of heaven, as we're learning in the series, is something quite different than that. It's real. It's not like Earth, but on the other hand, it has a sense of earthiness to it, because it's a reclaiming and a restoring of all that is good. So it's somewhere between our innocent childlike views of heaven and our overly intellectual views. The real biblical picture, somewhere in between.
The teaching you heard today is part of a complete CD collection on Alan's Heaven series, and it's our special offer to you for a donation of any amount to Sharing the Light Ministries. As you've heard today, heaven is something we should be anticipating, and although we don't know everything about eternity, there are some absolutes from Scripture. You'll find encouragement and hope as you study along with Alan on CD at your own pace. Request a copy when you call, email, or write us. Also, if you've never contacted us before, please ask for today's free gift to you, the complete message from which today's program was edited. Again, free to first-time friends of Sharing the Light. Our toll-free number is 877-LIGHT-60, on the web at sharingthelight.org, or write to us at Sharing the Light, Post Office Box 5008, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27113. We also ask you remember that Sharing the Light is able to continue spreading the teaching of the gospel only because of the financial support of faithful friends. Please pray and consider a tax-deductible gift to Sharing the Light Ministries. And while we certainly appreciate your prayer support and your financial giving at any level, Alan, we do have a special opportunity for folks to get involved with us and join the Circle of Light.
We exist because of partners in ministry that believe that this message of grace is urgent and important and powerful. And so this is a new ministry that includes those that want to be in ongoing partnership with us, people that give $20 or more a month or annually along that line. We want to show some special connection together and really sort of a circle of light with the sense of just ever broadening the light of the gospel. There are some special privileges for those who are in the circle of light, including special access to parts of our website that will enable you to access all the messages of a current sermon series that I'll be preaching, as well as a classic series and some other special communications and opportunities that come along throughout the year. But most of all, the great privilege of being part of the Circle of Light is that you know that you are impacting thousands of lives every day through this radio broadcast. And we are so grateful for all of our partners, because otherwise the broadcast in all of our ministry would not be possible. The Circle of Light really is sharing the light of the gospel all across the world.
Your contributions help sustain the broadcast in your city. When you give $20 a month or more, ask about joining the Circle of Light when you call 877-LIGHT-60 or visit sharingthelight.org. We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. You can also write to Sharing the Light, Post Office Box 5008, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27113. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Please join us again next time by radio, podcast, or through our online resources at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright. a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.